This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm. Dr. Kitzhaber to the ER. The American healthcare system is on its deathbed, and eventually no amount of deck chair triage is going to fix it. It ultimately will be single payer or chaos. And the EPA, complicit in killing the last of our honeybees, looks like we'll have to change a sudden colony collapse to predictable chemical collapse. We have Robert Naiman joining us today to talk about the real effects of sanctions on the Iranian people. And in fact, there's blowback because the sanctions are causing a bit of chaos in oil markets in the Western world as well. Finally, the Koch brothers want to know exactly where their money went. You can't exactly follow the money if you don't know where it went. They're not happy about it. First, this from the National Weather Service. Rain for today, highs near 48. It's going to be breezy with a 21 to 28 mile an hour southwest wind driving that rain, gusting up as high as, says National Weather Service, 40 miles per hour. And for tonight, rain lightens up a bit, still damp, dripping skies, showers, lows around 37, and it will be windy, but nothing like 40 miles an hour. What they're saying is 9 to 15, gusting up to 20 for tomorrow. Saturday, showers on the way, and a high near 45. West winds 11 to 14 for tomorrow, Saturday night. Again, showers continue. It's simply going to be wet for most of the weekend. It's low of 38 for Saturday night. Sunday, rain continuing and a high of 49. Sunday night, more rain and a low of 39, bringing us full circle and back to Monday morning. The alternative forecast, pretty much the same as we've been seeing. It's a waxing gibbous flower moon in Gemini. If you want to get seeds started, think flowering plants, internal seed bearing plants. And of course, the sidereal outlook says dry and barren, yet good for promoting flower growth. That's it for the alternative as well as the conventional reports. Before we speak with Robert Naiman, we'll also try to reach Shireen Khalifa. A 20-year-old protester in Bahrain was killed. We never hear news out of Bahrain. It's pretty much completely quashed by mainstream media because, God forbid, that we know what's going on in what amounts to a client state. Don't forget the Fifth Fleet stationed right there. Saudi Arabia looming over it. A tiny little Bahrain. And the U.S. very much involved. So the silence and the blinkers are on, right? Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Moving from that, Bahrain, somewhat far afield, before we get into talking a bit about Governor John Kitzhaber's plan to overhaul the American healthcare system without resorting to single payer, before we speak about how Genentech left Hillsborough with a huge tax bill, we're going to speak right now with Robert Naiman at Just Foreign Policy. Many listeners know that name and have read his writings in Just Foreign Policy. We will post a link to that site on the KBOO/Air Cascadia site, so you can read up there. What I want to ask about, good morning, Robert, and thank you so much for being with us today. We're very fortunate to have you back, is the sanctions on Iran. There is, in fact, some blowback. You cannot, even a mega power such as the United States, when they put sanctions on a country such as Iran, there are variables that are not, there are too many variables for the U.S. to control everything, much as it would like to think that sheer military power would accomplish that. Some of those variables are the response to the sanction. People's goodwill erodes after a while. Can you talk a bit about, are there cracks in this policy and the many things that can go wrong here?
Well, I think the first thing that everyone should know is that it's now been documented over a period of time in mainstream press that the sanctions are causing Iranian civilian medical patients to not be able to get access to life-saving medicines. And obviously this is immoral, but it's also a grave violation of international law. It's very clear a provision of international law that food and medicines have to be exempt from sanctions, and that's not the case now. So that would be enough scandal. Secondly, if you look at the letter of the U.S. and Western sanctions, medicines are supposed to be exempt. If you ask the U.S., they say, oh, medicines are exempt. But what happened is that they have these widespread sanctions on the whole Iranian banking sector, which U.S. officials, Democrat and Republican, have called crippling sanctions, to them in a good way. You don't want to have crippling sanctions on Iran. They have sanctions against the entire Iranian banking sector. So while there's nothing that says that Iranians can't buy Western medicines, they can't pay for them because they have great difficulty paying for them because the transactions are blocked. The transactions are blocked because the banks are afraid of having anything to do with Iran whatsoever because of the zealous enforcement of the sanctions. And the U.S. government and others haven't done anything to stop this. There's been some movement in Europe with some of the banking sanctions being overturned. But so far, the response to this has been very anemic, and we see the usual victim blaming that was that happened in the case of the sanctions on Iraq, where U.S. officials say, well, you know, if the Iranian government doesn't want this, all they have to do is meet our terms. And that's, you know, that's clearly, that attitude, that argument is clearly collective punishment. So that's number one. And, you know, we could do something about that if people would get on top of Congress and the administration and say, whatever else is true, you've got to exempt medicine. But also, in terms of blowback, you know, as you mentioned, the policy is purchasing tremendous resentment in Iran. People in Iran blame the United States for the sanctions, and why wouldn't they, given the statements of Western officials about the sanctions? According to press reports, sanctions are making Iranians more dependent on the government, limiting, you know, further constricting political space in Iran. And as you also mentioned, they're driving up the price of oil. So, you know, at a time when you're reading the press, people are complaining about high gas prices. Well, you know, we took a whole bunch of Iranian oil off the market. Supply and demand determines the price of oil. Not to mention the environmental cost when you consider that, you know, we're having this debate about the Keystone Pipeline, and the argument has been made, oh, we have to let this dirty tar sands oil, we have to bring this dirty tar sands oil in from a pipeline in Canada. This is all part of this argument about, you know, energy security. We have to replace these quote-unquote foreign sources of oil like Iran and Venezuela with the dirty Canadian tar sands oil because that's going to make us more secure. So we're actually hurting the planet by and hurting our ability to do something about climate chaos by having these unnecessary sanctions on Iran oil. And I say unnecessary because there's a deal on the table that everybody understands what the deal looks like, that that the U.S. and Iran can get to on Iran's nuclear program, where Iran accept, where the U.S. accepts Iran's right to enrich uranium, Iran accepts intrusive international inspections and some limits on its program, and then there are sanctions relief. But so far, the attitude of the U.S. government is just to engage in, you know, fake, pretend negotiations and not really pursue a deal. And again, this is being openly reported in the press, that the Obama administration is perfectly content with the status quo of more and more sanctions and no diplomatic deal. So this is something that we could do something about. There is a myth that sanctions don't have a cost for the United States, but in fact, they have a tremendous cost.
And we're pretty much out of time. It's extraordinary. There's no this isn't diplomacy. It's diplomacy with a blunt instrument. It's either sanctions or war, with no attempt whatsoever to come to a reasonable accommodation on all sides. I do have other questions for you, but we don't have enough time right now. I want to thank you very much for that. We've been speaking with Robert Naiman. He is, of course, he writes with on Just Foreign Policy. There is ample and extraordinarily insightful writing at that site, and we will put a link to that. Before we go out, though, in right here, right in Cascadia, in Hillsborough, we just found people have found out to their dismay that maybe it's not such a great idea to give away tax incentives to huge corporations, notably in this case Genentech, the San Francisco-based biotech giant. Hillsborough is finding itself with a $162 million reduction in assessed value. This is a huge deal, and we're constantly, our elected representatives give the shop away to any corporation that comes knocking at the door. So fearful have they become of losing those corporations. And we have we tried to get Reem Khalifa in on a line from Bahrain. A protester there has died from injuries. An opposition official in Bahrain says, as reports that the death is his second this month, blamed on riot police. Bahrain's majority Shiites have led an uprising for a greater political voice in the Sunni-ruled nation. It has been a couple of years now. Reem has been reporting on that. Sometimes we can reach her, sometimes she can't. She's in a rather dangerous situation. We're glad to speak to her when we can. And this from Egypt, an Egyptian opposition group is using a novel way to protest against President Mohamed Morsi. They have signed up Morsi for a chance to win, wait for it, a trip to space. That's right. Let's all get on board with the April 6th Youth Movement and send Mohamed Morsi to outer space. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. This has been iCascadia for Friday, February 22nd, 2013. Sam engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, a up-close look at Academy Award-winning filmmaker Oliver Stone's new 10-part Showtime documentary, The Untold History of the United States, with co-writer Peter Kuznick. Also, we will hear excerpts from a powerful new documentary film, Over Troubled Waters, about the fight to save the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, the largest estuary on the west coast of the United States. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Joining us first is Peter Kuznick. Peter Kuznick is a professor at American University in Washington, D.C. He's the co-writer of this new documentary series that is being produced by Oliver Stone. It's a 10-part Showtime documentary, The Untold History of the United States. And welcome to Flashpoints.
Thanks, Dennis. Glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you with us. You know, listeners to this show and Pacifica Radio and people who follow the alternative media know that, many of them know that, for instance, things that come in up in this series, the fact that the Soviet Union defeated Hitler's armies, not the United States, that Japan would have surrendered in August 1945 without the use of the atomic bombs, that the United States has a long history of backing right-wing dictators around the world rather than supporting democratic movements. I know I did a trading card series called Friendly Dictators, and it's amazing the folks we propped up and the damage that they did. We know, for instance, that a lot of these issues have been raised by Howard Zinn in his extraordinary book, A People's History of the United States. We've seen it in an excellent book by James Lohan, Lies My Teacher Told Me, some of these stories. But now it's on television. There's a lot of people who didn't read The People's History of the United States who watched television. I guess that's the case, isn't it, Professor?
Yeah, we've got a lot of people watching who, for whom this is absolutely new history. We trace the history of the American Empire and the rise of the national security state from the late 19th century all the way up to today. And so it's got a sweeping panoramic view